Hey mama, welcome back to the One Income Family Podcast. Today I am diving deep into my simple beginner's meal planning system. And yes, I'm emphasizing beginners because I feel like there are so many meal planning systems out there. And the way they explain it, I mean, it's simple enough, but when I try to implement it, it's just, I just can't wrap my brain around it essentially. And I'll dive more into that later on, but I wanted to really create this beginner's meal planning system because it's going to help solve the problem of what to serve when you've never done a meal plan before, or maybe you've never thought about, you know, what kind of meals you and your children eat, or maybe something like maybe you have picky eaters. What will they eat? What won't they eat? You will have a way of testing and making simple notes about meals, you know, that are those thumbs up meals or the thumbs down, and also figure out your usual go-to meals. You'll figure out what they are. Meal planning can be so overwhelming and time-consuming if you're reinventing that wheel every single time you sit down to do it. And I want you to be able to meal plan, you know, these simple meals that you can not only, like, they help you to save money, but also to feed your family healthy meals while keeping it simple and less stressful. So go grab that pen and paper, mama, because we are about to get you meal planning today. Hey friend, welcome to the One Income Family Podcast. Do you live primarily on your husband's income and find it hard to save or get out of debt? Are you constantly searching for ways to cut costs, live frugally, and do things on a budget? Do you have big dreams only to be stopped by overspending and loosely following your budget? Hey, I'm Molly, and I too have struggled with living and growing a family on one income. But through trial and error and a lot of help from God, my family and I have learned how to live abundantly on less. This podcast will bring you a Christ-centered, simple, and frugal lifestyle, along with how to budget so you can follow it, and time management tips that will transform your budget and your home. So go restart that laundry, grab your Bible, and let's get budgeting. How often do you find yourself reaching for that one item in the store that it's not in the budget and you know that it's going to put you over budget, yet you go and buy it anyways? I feel you. This is something that I too struggle with. Now, I'm not going to lie and tell you that I've 100% solved it because, you know, I'm human and I fail just like everybody else every now and again. But I am going to tell you that I know how to make it easier. I know how to help you create habits that will eventually cut down the temptation to buy things that aren't in the budget. I also know how to add the things that you not only need to buy, but want to buy back into your budget and still stay on budget. So, are you ready to finally feel like you are the one in control, that you can stick to your budget? To not feel restricted, like you can't buy something that you want to or sometimes need to buy, then my friend, you need to run and grab a financial strategy session right now. That is at www.calendly.com/Molly Bunnell, which I'll spell that out for you. It's www.calendly.com/Molly with a Y, B as in boy, E-N-E-L-L. This is your first step towards creating healthy habits so you can stick to your budget. I mean, it's as simple as that. However, now you may be questioning whether you are ready or you're not quite sure where to start. I also want to invite you to hop on a free clarity call with me first. So head on over to, again, calendly.com/Molly Bunnell and grab your free clarity call today so that you can stick to your budget by first learning where to start. Okay, so make sure you go and grab a call. It's free. It's not going to do anything but help you learn where to start first. It's not going to hurt you, is what I'm trying to say. It will gain, help you to gain knowledge around your budget, around why it is that you're struggling to stick to your budget. And if that's all that you figure out and you're able to move on from there, that is awesome. That's what I want for you. I want you to be able to figure out where you're struggling so that you can take off and run and actually get your budget working for you instead of struggling to stick with it. Okay, so now on to our episode, which, you know, is keeping down this overwhelm, which comes with meal planning. I'm pretty sure it's just part of it until you figure out your system that works for you. Overwhelm can just be a big part of why we don't even start, because it's such a big thing to do. Our grocery budget is a big part of our budget that we have to do hands-on. And it's not a simple, oh, I want this kind of thing. We have to, you know, also include our family members and what they want and try to figure out something that everybody will eat and only make one meal instead of a different meal for each person. One, that's time consuming. Two, that's expensive. And that's not where we want to be. So I remember the first time that I started meal planning. It was, and still can be, because I do like to reinvent the wheel every now and again when I'm tired of eating the same thing over and over. Or I just don't know what to make because my child is at the I don't like anything phase, you know, which is kind of discouraging. But it was so overwhelming. I listened to all these different people explain to me what a meal plan was and how to start it. And they all pretty much started with the one thing of you need a recipe book, like all the recipes that you usually make. And I'm going, I don't know what those are. I have no idea where to start with this. And you're giving me the basics, I guess, but it's not going to help me actually dive in and create a meal plan that's actually a system that I can stick with, because I don't really do recipe books. I do more things on Pinterest and online, and in my brain, I've got a lot of things memorized. So having them written down, I'm just like, I have no idea. And so I was just overwhelmed every single time and trying to reinvent the wheel and trying to get the healthy aspect of it plus the cheap aspect of it, or, you know, the frugal aspect of it, and try to just hit every piece of the puzzle that I'm trying to create. You know, it was just stressful and overwhelming. And then when I finally figured out this system, It just made things so much easier. Like when I don't know what to budget, I can quickly look back at the past months and see what I've done before. You're probably like, what are you talking about? I will explain. Like my first tip 100% talks about what I'm talking about right now. But it's less stressful. I mean, it can be stressful if you want it to be, if you're trying to figure out a new meal every single time. But the system that I am giving you today is not going to let you do that. I'm going to like ease you into it. Like my normal meal plan system, you know, is a 2-week system that I've talked about in previous episodes. Well, when I talk about this, I don't talk about going 2 weeks at a time, and I'll explain why in a little bit, but I talk about going 1 week at a time, and it's just so we can ease you into things. When you just jump into a new habit, it's hard to embrace the whole thing. It's hard to, you know, just dive head first and do every single thing perfectly, and it's not going to happen. So I give you bits and pieces to start with, instead of like if you go to listen to somebody else's meal plan, they're going to just give you this whole system that I believe is overwhelming and stressful. And I'm giving you like bits and pieces to take with you and to tweak and to mold and to grow with as you like learn more about your family's wants, about your family's desires, about your desires, about the way that you're cooking. Maybe you're starting to do more from scratch cooking. Maybe you're trying to take it a level deeper and not just from scratch cook as in dumping, you know, some spaghetti sauce together into some noodles, because that is from scratch cooking. But maybe you're trying to take a step further and actually make your own homemade spaghetti sauce, you know. So there are different levels of from scratch cooking. There are different levels of meal planning, and I want the system to just be able to grow with you as you learn. You just tweak it here and you tweak it there, and it's not something that's overwhelming. It's just simple and just grows with you. So let's dive into what those are. So the first thing that I want to talk about, it has been a game changer for me. I've talked about it before, but I'm going to really dive into why I decided to do it this way. And that is, I use a planner, just a simple cheapo planner from the store, from Walmart even, that I write in what I'm going to meal plan for that week. Well, 2 weeks for me. And now, because of that, I started the system with the meal, with the planner, not meal planning in general, but with the planner, I started in January. And now whenever I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to cook, this is a stressful week, I just really need simple things that I know my children are going to eat, I can look back at the past months and simply just pick something. I've got notes in there on how to tweak it up. I've got notes in there on whether it was a liked meal, whether it was a no-go, don't make it again kind of thing. I've just got a plethora of information at my fingertips that makes it so much easier. And I'm not trying to go out and try to figure out, well, was this something that we liked? Was this something that wasn't liked? Should I make this again? Should I not make it again, even though it wasn't liked? There's just so much information that I can get by using this meal planner. So on the month days, what I do is I write what I'm making. I write supper. That's what I write for meal planning, is I write for what we are make, what I'm going to make, what I want to make on the overall picture of the month. So it just makes it easier. It's one glance. I can see everything. Simple, make it easy. Now, I do have add an extra step to this, and I write it on my board, my calendar, on the date, you know, what it is that we're planning, so that I don't have to pull this out. But there are times that I haven't written that up there, and I still just have my planner in an easy location to grab, and I can just open it and see what it is that I'm making that day. So, I mean, I can have that extra piece, you know, where I can just look and see it on the wall, or I can just do it this way, or I mean, you can just do it this way. Either one works. I found them to be about the same when it comes to remembering to pull out, you know, what it is meat-wise that I need to pull from the freezer. But other than that, it's really simple. It's nice to have all those notes. When everybody else talks about having, you know, this cookbook, I was drawing a blank on the word, when they talk about having this cookbook and just having things in there, yes, that's nice to have, but I feel like that's more of a when you're actually in the moment cooking kind of thing, where you take notes on how it is that you want to change up the recipe or things that you want to add to it or take away from it so that it, you know, tastes better according to your family's kind of thing. But it doesn't help you on the meal planning side of things, because when you just print off all these recipes, well, if your family doesn't like it, then you just wasted ink and paper on a recipe that you're never going to make again. And if you just keep it in your on your Pinterest board and you never go in and delete it afterwards, then again, you're like, well, did I like this? Did I not like this? And it just can get so confusing and crazy and hectic. And that's why I think having this planner to plan this out instead of just like a piece of paper that people give out or, you know, anything else like it, it just makes it so much easier because you can, again, you can make notes on whether it was something that was liked, on whether you should or shouldn't make something again, on how many times you have it so you don't get tired of it, you know, whether or not you need to find something new because you need to just change up your old system. It makes things simple. Like there are meal plans out there where you do a seasonal one. Well, maybe you're not quite ready for that and you want to keep doing this way. Well, by having this, you know, in the future, you can be like, well, these are some great options to use. And then maybe go through and pick out your seasonal ones and just throw it into, you know, a Google Drive or I don't know, maybe into your planner again that month. However, you know, it grows with you, how whatever system you've created once you're further down the line. And it just, it makes it easier. You don't have to go and search for new recipes all the time. That's something I always was doing. And this system has stopped me from doing that. I still like to do it for like one or two of the recipes, but I don't do it for every single one. And it has made meal planning so much quicker, so much smoother, and so less stressful and overwhelming. It has been a game changer. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two, I want you to start meal planning 1 week at a time. I know that I do it 2 weeks at a time, and I could do 3 or 4 weeks, but with the, you know, produce, it makes it easier. Like, I found that produce lasts about 2 weeks, so doing it 2 weeks at a time is great, especially if you get paid every 2 weeks. It just kind of flows together. But if you have never meal planned before, I promise you, meal planning 2 weeks at a time will be stressful, it will be overwhelming, and you won't create that habit because you don't want to do it. So I suggest doing 1 week at a time. Yes, that means you're going to the grocery store more, and I'm trying to help you now be more frugal, which means going less, and it keeps you from trying to spend more. But if you have never meal planned before, you will end up wasting more time and energy trying to create a meal plan that just maybe you don't end up following because you were so stressed about it that you didn't like it. You just throw it away and go and do your own thing. And that's what I'm trying to prevent. I'm trying to help you create a meal plan that you enjoy, that's simple, that you can stick with, that doesn't cause a whole bunch of stress and overwhelm. And when you're a beginner, that's what you need. You got to ease yourself into things, because if you just throw yourself, like I said, head first into it, you're going to end up stopping and not following through. It's just like when you have New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year. If you don't slowly add yourself into it, burnout becomes so easy. And that's what I want to prevent. I do not want you to get burnt out the first 2 weeks because you didn't exactly know how to implement this and it just was so stressful and overwhelming. So please start 1 week at a time. And then with that, going into point number three, create a 5-meal rotation from that log. So that gives you, you can maybe, depending on your budget, eat out one day. Or you can try to find 2 new meals a week so that you can start this whole adding new meals in, but without it being stressful. And then with your 5-meal rotation, it's just you're not eating the same thing constantly all the time, especially if that's not what you like. If that's what you like, find the 5 meals that you like and go with it. I mean, there's a system where every single day is a different style of food. If that's what you like and makes it easier for you, then go with it. However, I still suggest for at least, I don't know, maybe the first 2 to 3 months, doing it where you have 5 meals that are steady, that are constant, that you know your family is going to like, and you're not going to struggle with it. And then adding 2 more meals in that are going to like create that variety and not get sick of eating the same thing over and over again. But it's not making you reinvent the wheel of every single recipe every single time. And then, but in 3 months, that gives you a whole bunch of ideas, like whether or not your family liked them, whether or not your family didn't like them, how to change them up. You can go in and just look at the things that you've already done and create a meal plan from that. Maybe you still keep the 1 meal, like new meal a week kind of thing, but maybe you don't. Maybe that's when you start the new process of doing 2 week meal plans. So after you're done with your 3 months of 1 week meal planning, you jump into 2 week meal planning because you're not needing to find new recipes. You've got 3 months worth of recipes that you can find two weeks of meals easily. And I also want to add, maybe cut down the amount you have from 5 to, I don't know, 4, because you're also going to have your leftovers day. You know, whatever system you want, maybe you want a leftovers day and you want one new meal plan or recipe a week instead of two new recipes a week, then that's even less stress on you. You know, this is your plan. You make it what you want. My favorite, absolute all-time favorite way to meal plan is by doing a meal and then a leftovers day right after. So I make that first day a big enough meal that I can have it for 2 days in a row. And then I don't have to cook, 3 days out of the week, 4 days out of the week, depending on the rotation. Because when you have 14 days, 2 weeks, you have 7 meals with 7 days of leftovers, which is 2 weeks. And it is so nice because then I don't have to cook those days. I'm on or I'm off and I can focus on other things. That's just the way I like to do it. I'm a family of, you know, my husband and I, and then my two daughters, one's two and one's one, two. My goodness, I'm making her younger than she is. She's 3, gonna be 4 in January. And then my youngest is 1. And so, yes, I know I don't have to cook as much if compared to like a 6 to 10 person family. But, you know, you just do it based on your family preferences. If you don't like leftovers, learn how to create a meal where there are no leftovers that night. It's going to save you money. It's going to save you time. And you'll just figure out how to do that. You'll figure out how to tweak the recipes. And, you know, maybe that's why you go for 3 months, you figure out these meals that your family likes in these 3 months, and you learn how to tweak the recipes so you can create your own cookbook that allows you to tweak the recipes that work for your family, whether or not you need to make more of it so that you can have a double batch, or make less of it so it's a single batch and that's it. And then it allows you to, you know, stretch it throughout the rest of the week and really just amplify what it is that you do. So I really want you to start small before you start really creating and diving into this meal planning system, and just try to get into the habit of doing it. Find the first 5 things, find the first 4 things if you like leftovers, that really just your family likes, that you know they will eat, even if it's hot dogs and chips. I know it's not the healthiest things, and we really want our families to eat healthier things. But right now, on a meal plan and trying to figure out the whole budgeting thing mixed together along with the health, just start simple. Start with those French fries and I about said mashed potatoes. Yeah, you can do mashed potatoes too. However, I'd suggest a meat with that. But your meat, your veggie, your vegetable, your... apparently, I don't want to say the carb and the vegetable together. Oh, man. Okay. Anyways, I hope you get what I'm trying to say here. Just those simple meals that you know your family will eat. And then just slowly start tweaking them, slowly start adding things in that is different, that maybe your family's never had before. Give it to them on a different day and decide whether or not you like it, and then move on from there and make those notes in your planner. But start with those 5 things that you know are good, that you know will be eaten, and slowly add in from there so that you're not overwhelmed, so that your family's not overwhelmed and complaining and stressing you out and making you not want to meal plan because the things that you meal plan they didn't like. It really flows together if you start with one piece and then move forward. Okay, so I believe that is everything. I mean, I guess a little bit more on leftovers, I should specify a little bit more on that, is only make one meal for the entire family. And I know that can be difficult when you have picky eaters, but that's why I specified those 5 things are those 5 rotating meals, the basic meals that you're going to make, that you're going to start with, have them be the simple things that you know that they're going to eat. They may not be the healthiest, they may not be the greatest, just, you know, add a large helping of vegetables. If they don't like vegetables, blend them together into some mashed potatoes or something, and maybe they'll eat it. I don't know. Get creative. I'm sure you can figure something out. But really just get creative. Use your leftovers. If you do have leftovers, if you do the system that I do, great. That just makes your life less stressful, less thinking you have to do. It's literally just cook one day, the next day you're off, and you just eat what you made yesterday and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. It's my favorite way of doing things. When my family gets bigger and I can't do that, or I have to really double the recipe and I don't have a big enough pot to do that, I may be sad. I'll let you know when we get to that point. But that is my favorite way of doing things. And, you know, another way you can do it is maybe not feed it the same night, but maybe double the recipe and throw the second batch in the freezer. And you can have it the following week instead of the same exact week. It gives a little more variety, but at the same time, you're only cooking once. And at the same time, you're reusing the same ingredients, so you're not costing as much trying to get more or different ingredients. You know, that's a one way to do it too. Maybe you just made a meat and there's enough meat left over for another meal. Get creative. Use the meat in like a pasta dish or in like a pulled sandwich of some sort. You know, there are so many ways of using things. So just get creative and please, 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 please do not throw your leftovers out. Find a way of using them or not having them. Either way works. I am happy with whichever one you choose, whatever your family enjoys, whatever, you know, you can get through the family. But just please use all of your leftovers. Okay, so to wrap up and go over everything that I mentioned, use a planner to log all your meals. Don't use a cookbook because that can just get confusing. It can be a waste of money if you don't have, like if you print something off that you don't like and then throw it away. I mean, I guess one way that you could do it is you could use the recipe on Pinterest. If you do like it, print it off. Great. If not, then you can lose the recipe. You know, there's lots of ways of doing it, but I really want you to start with just meal planning one week at a time, putting that meal plan into your log so that you can easily say whether it was a yes, whether it was a no, why it was a no, maybe to use it again in the future, but at a much further, you know, date in the future so that your kids' taste buds have changed and get a different, you know, taste when they try it again, because, you know, kids' taste buds are changing constantly. But yes, make sure that you're writing it down and you're taking notes on whether or not it was successful or not successful. And then meal plan one week at a time. Start with creating a 4 or 5 meal rotation based off whether you like leftovers or not. And then really just work on, if you don't like leftovers, eliminating them or amplifying them so that you can use them in another recipe so that they don't get forgotten and wasted, because wasted food is wasted money. If you want to throw money out the window, I mean, I will give you my address and you can just send me your money. I'm joking. Don't do that. But you get what I'm saying. I don't want you to throw away that money. I don't want it to be gone because you forgot about something or you had leftovers and the leftovers just ended up in the trash, because that's not where we want them. We want them in our bellies and not throwing them away. Okay, so I hope that you really got a lot out of today's episode and that it's really going to help you create that meal plan that's actually going to help you move forward instead of just be stuck in overwhelm and stress, because those meal plans that are out there, they're so great and there's so many awesome ideas, but they can be overwhelming to a beginner. So if you're new at this and you're not sure how to start, please start with these. If you have more questions, come over to the Facebook group and ask me all the questions that you have. Otherwise, I really want to end by letting you know that I am a budgeting coach, and this is what I do. This is what I want to help you with. I can help you create your meal plan if that's what you like. If you don't know where it is that you are struggling with sticking to your budget, your overall budget, then hop on a free clarity call with me, because I can help you figure out where it is that you need to start first. What part of your budget do you need to focus on to tweak so that you can actually stick to your budget? And I feel like a lot of us, it's going to be this grocery budget because it's such a big piece of our budget, but there are so many other areas of the budget that maybe you don't even know is an actual piece, or there are so many other strategies that you might not even know about. So if you do know what it is that you want to focus on, then go ahead and jump on a financial strategy session. That is at www.calendly.com/Molly Bennell. And that's MOLLYBENELL. And get your financial strategy session right now so that you can create those healthy habits that help you stick to your budget. But like I said, if you're not sure where to start, if you're just confused on what piece you maybe need to focus on first so that you can actually stick to your budget, then please go first and hop on a free clarity call with me. It doesn't cost you anything. You're going to learn a lot. It's going to help you figure out where it is to focus. It's also going to give you a few other areas that you can focus on to tweak up and change. And then you can either hop on a financial strategy session with me after that, or you can go your own way and get it going yourself. I mean, it's up to you, but that free clarity call isn't going to hurt anything, but it is going to help you figure out where to start. So please, if anything, go grab a free clarity call at calendly.com/Molly Bennell. That's calendly.com/Molly, B as in boy, ENELL. And let's get you sticking to your budget by first learning where to start. So I pray that this episode has blessed you. I pray that it actually helps you get that, get your grocery budget running and started, and actually get the overwhelm out of the place so that you can create your own system that works great for you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I pray that it inspired you into action. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with that friend who also lives on one income and wants to learn how to live abundantly on less? Also, please leave a quick review for the show. It lights me up to know this podcast is helping you, and it helps get the show out there to other mamas in need. All right, well, it's time to go play with the babies. So I will meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Peace and chicken grease, mama.